Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Active Quest. This is episode 78. I'm one of your hosts, Joseph Yaden, and joining me today is the beautiful British boy, Mr. Chris Penwell. Hello, Chris.
Bonjour, mon ami.
Now, I know y'all British people like to mess a bunch of words up, but that didn't sound British to me, Chris.
What?
Throwing all these U's in these words and these random letters that don't belong. Anyway.
Non. Je suis français.
Nah. Jesus Christ. And joining us as well is Mr. Josh Nichols. Hello, Josh.
Hello, Joseph.
How's it going, Josh?
It's been a week. I'm looking forward to video games this weekend.
This week has been a month. I mean, let's be real here. And today is a very special episode. Well, every episode is a little bit special in its own way, but this episode is very special because one of my best friends, and, you know, he just somebody who I've worked with before and is just awesome in all regards, we have a guest on the show today, Mr. Jesse Vitelli, writer at Twinfinite. Hello, Jesse.
Hey, how's it going? I'm afraid you oversold me a little bit there, and I might not live up to the hype now. But I appreciate it too, bud. Thank you. I'm happy to be here and chatting with you because it has been a week for sure.
And it sure has.
It feels good to be here.
So. So we've worked together actually at 100 years ago, it seems.
Yeah, at this point.
At Twinfinite and stuff. And you were one of the first people I actually connected with when I started all this stuff. So I'm glad to have you on. So you doing okay, Jesse?
Yeah, I mean, as okay as anybody can be in these unprecedented times, as we will. It feels nice to be able to chat with you and hear all of your wonderful voices.
And other humans.
Yeah.
I forget what it's like sometimes. And I have to know, how's the beard?
The beard is long, like very long. I have not, for people who may not know, I'm doing a thing where I'm not getting a haircut or a beard trim until this is over. I will never have this opportunity in my life again. So what
if it's like a year from now?
I'm currently wrestling with the problem that my barber opened back up, and my barber is down the block from my apartment. But they're not doing beard trims yet. They're only doing haircuts, which is, like, fair because they don't want to, like, be touching everyone's face and whatever.
And so
I'm kind of just using that as an excuse to prolong this to see how far I can go. But as soon as they start doing beard trims again, I'm going to go and get cleaned up.
How long is, like, long, too? Because I've heard 3 inches is really long.
Size does matter. So it's – I would say maybe – from my chin to the longest part of my beard is probably like, I'd say maybe 3.5 inches.
Gotcha. Yeah, that sounds pretty huge.
Hefty. It's hefty. Pretty hefty.
Yeah. Full.
So thank you for joining us today, Jesse. Remember, you can always get a hold of us on Twitter at ActiveQuestShow, email us at activequestpodcast@gmail.com, and you can find our show pretty much anywhere where podcasts are available. And remember to leave us nice reviews on iTunes so Chris will be forced against his will with a revolver to his head to play Red Dead Redemption 2. Jesse, have you played Red Dead Redemption 2?
I have. I have finished Red Dead Redemption 2. I've played through all of it.
Me too.
That's miraculous. I still haven't. I'm like at the last chapter.
It took me a long time, but I did do it.
Huh.
It's long and laborious.
Chris, goddammit.
It's long and worth it.
Don't start. Start with your shit already. God. So we've got there's some interesting stories this week. Nothing too wild, but we are going to talk a little bit about this samurai game that came out, Ghost of Tsushima, as well as Paper Mario. Paper Mario: The Origami King. Which, by the way, did you guys think it was called Paper Mario and The Origami King?
Yes,
because I totally did. It doesn't roll off the tongue nicely. Paper Mario, are they saying Paper Mario is the Origami King? Because so far that doesn't seem to be the case. Spoilers.
I don't know.
Very strange. And then we'll talk a little bit about some other games. Jesse, you've been playing Deadly Premonition 2, which I'm very curious to hear your thoughts on. That game has been getting some reviews.
It's a game.
Oh, it's something.
That game has been getting reviews. That's all I'll say. Oh, and Josh, you're playing Fortnite. You know what? I played Fortnite this week for work a little bit. Hmm. That's a very good video game.
I really like Fortnite. I was at the Resident Evil 2 midnight release 5 years ago at my GameStop, and they were telling me, that's what it feels like, and they were telling me, that everybody was talking about something that happened to Fortnite, and this guy just looked around and went, I'd rather eat buckshot than play Fortnite. And everybody just got really quiet, and this kid went, well, I kind of wish you would. And it was just like, well, it's 11:55. We still have 5 minutes here.
That's good.
Oh, God. So we've got some stuff to talk about. We'll talk about the new Ninjala game that came out. This is a free-to-play sort of PvP game on Nintendo Switch, so we'll get into that. No Man's Sky had this new update called Desolation, and it basically turns it into Dead Space, which
looks
is
so
like,
cool.
That is just like, that's like the game that just keeps on giving.
Yeah,
I'm
I have
so
some questions
about
that.
I haven't actually had a chance to try it out yet, but I definitely want to maybe check into it this weekend. We got the NPD results for June, so not really a whole lot of surprises there, but we'll touch on that. I guess the bigger stories of this week are the Dr. Disrespect interview with PC Gamer, which was just a lot. I'm not somebody who's really familiar with streaming, but even I was like kind of interested in that, so we'll touch on that. And then the two big Xbox stories, so discontinuing the Xbox One X and Xbox One S ahead of the Series X launch, and then the xCloud story out.
We actually have two other quick Xbox things that I'll mention at the end of the news, because I think they're worth mentioning too, but not full stories.
Sure.
And I'll be talking about Rocket Arena as well. It's a new competitive 3v3 team shooter that's heavily focused on rockets, which is really cool.
Chris, I don't have a lot of nice things to say about that game, but I'm not going to...
Okay.
I'm not going to be mean like you are about Red Dead Redemption
2. I was hoping you'd say that, too.
It hurts my heart. It hurts my heart the way you treat that game, Chris.
Maybe one day. But you guys gotta do it. You gotta give us the reviews.
Give us the reviews. All right. So let's just do some quick notes here, and then we'll jump into the news. Everybody ready? I'm not wearing pants right now. Just thought I'd let everybody know.
Good, good.
I did get these new slippies. And let me tell you, man, these slippies... I had my slippies broke. You ever have a slippy break on you? It's no good.
Like slippy toad?
No, slippers. Like house slippers. I don't wear shoes anymore. I quit wearing shoes.
You call them slippies?
Sure. Why not?
That must be a weird East Coast thing then.
No.
Don't drag me into this.
Okay.
Oh, Jesse, that's right. You live in New York, don't you?
I do.
God.
I am an East Coaster for life.
I love New York so much.
Yeah, my sister-in-law lives there, and she tells me the best stories about what people do in the subway. And
it's insane.
It.
I take the subway. Well, used to take the subway every day, and oh boy, that's a whole separate podcast.
Bunch of street performers and stuff. It's pretty cool. I mean, from what I've seen.
She said time this guy was wearing a shirt that said Dragon Tamer, and this person just started screaming, you probably don't even know what to feed dragons, and they were fighting about it. And I was just like, I want to move there. The cost of living is worth the stories.
You could write a book easily. You just spend like 2 weeks in the city, you could write a book.
Awesome. All right, so yeah. Has anybody here played Ninjala? I have it downloaded.
Yes, I have.
Oh, you have? Okay, that's cool. Any quick thoughts on it real fast, Jesse?
So I played maybe about like 5 matches when it like first came out. It's very clear that it is a free-to-play game, like up front. Like you get right, there, it's the battle pass, and it's, you know, selling skins and whatever.
Yeah.
And like, you know, that stuff's not really super in your face. It's just tucked away in another menu. But what I thought was super weird about Ninjala is that it's free-to-play for multiplayer. But if you want to play the story, you have to purchase it separately.
That's interesting. I actually bought the story mode, the chapter one.
So did I. Hmm. And I played through it, and I thought that was pretty all right.
Yeah, it's not the best thing, but it's good for the price, I guess.
Yeah,
interesting. How much is that? How much is the single player?
It's like $5.
Yeah, it was for the first episode or whatever. It seems like they're going to put out multiple chunks of that thing. But the first one was like $5.
Interesting.
And each episode's going to have different characters as the main protagonist. So
could be an interesting way to do lore, too, though, like for the multiplayer.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it's getting a big audience because it has 3 million downloads, which is nuts.
Yeah, that is pretty good. And you have to consider the large install base of the Switch, though. It's like something like 40 million or something like that. So, yeah, that's pretty interesting. Yeah, I might check it out. I'm just so swamped right now with games, but
I would say it is worth checking out considering the free price tag. It's worth hopping in for a couple matches.
I'm down for free.
Yeah,
down for free. So let's move on here. So this was interesting. Tom Holland from the Uncharted movie, or Spider-Man and all the Marvel.
Avid Marvel leaker.
He posted this Instagram picture saying that he had basically that the Uncharted movie had begun shooting, but then they had to walk that back and say that actually wasn't true. So I don't know what happened there. If he just got confused, I don't know. But anyway, the Uncharted movie has not started shooting yet, but it will begin shooting soon. Just a quick update there. I'm honestly surprised it's even gotten to this point because that movie's been in development hell for years.
7 or 8 directors on it.
I didn't even know the movie's currently had a director. I thought the last director that left, they hadn't replaced them yet.
My favorite thing about how long it's been in pre-production hell is Mark Wahlberg originally was going to be Nathan Drake, and then now he's going to be Sully.
Yeah,
they were like, "That's funny. You've aged a little bit because we've been taking a while, so you're now promoted to Uncharted Grandpa."
God. And then Chris, do you want to take this just next quick story here about the modder with the Mario 64?
Yeah, so this guy, this prolific guy called what's his name again? Let's see, Super Lewis 64. He hacked the Xbox Kinect for the PC, and then just got a mini trampoline, and then he started jumping in a mod for Super Mario 64. So he's actually able to play the game properly with a Joy-Con in his left hand or right hand, and for movement. And then he jumps with a normal jump, and then before punching, he does that's the B button. And then he turns around for movement. In some points, the Bowser boss, where he's spinning him around, he spins around while he's doing that. So it's really funny. So check out the video.
Yeah. I'm surprised Nintendo hasn't officially done that yet, because it just seems like it would go hand in hand. I mean, not obviously with Kinect, but some sort of like jumping device, like a trampoline, so you can be like Mario. It'd be kind of funny. All right, a couple quick upcoming releases, and then we'll get into the news proper here. Yeah, this No Man's Sky Desolation update, I haven't played it, like I said, but holy crap, it looks like Dead Space. Like, it straight up looks like Dead Space. And I was just thinking, I don't know if you guys remember when that game came out, but obviously a lot of people were pissed off about it. And then just, comparing to what it is now, it's just awesome to see how far it's come.
I didn't even need to either. That's my favorite part about it. They already made the money. They could have been bye.
You know? And it's free. It's free. Every update's free so far.
They've completely turned that game around, and it's a testament to what can be done given, given the drive to want to fix it and the time.
Right. Yeah. And obviously we're not getting Dead Space anytime soon, so.
Do you remember, a couple of weeks ago is irrelevant because time is a flat circle, but do you remember Dead Space was teasing something on Twitter?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Do we think that maybe this could secretly be a Dead Space?
Backdoor pilot test thing?
That, or even just a collaboration that has not been announced yet?
I'm
just putting on my tinfoil hat. That's all this is. But
I mean, I want to believe because Dead Space being remade and then a Dead Space 4 would just be the coolest thing ever.
God, I mean, I would love Dead Space 4, but I would even take a trilogy remaster, on Switch or whatever, PS4.
Yeah. Even if it's just a remaster of the first game, I'd be happy. That would at least be something.
They're not even on modern consoles right now, right? You can't. Can you play Dead Space
Xbox
on anything?
One, it's backwards compatible.
No, you can't.
It wasn't brought forward. It's just backwards compatible.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the third one might be on PlayStation now, but it's the PS3 version. So yeah.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing. Yeah.
Which is weird because they could port those. They could do a lazy little it runs at a higher frame rate. I mean, they could do a really lazy remaster, quote unquote, and put that in Switch, PS4, Xbox One. It would guaranteed make money.
Yeah.
That would be an awesome exclusive for PlayStation or Xbox.
Yeah.
It would.
Be
it
massive.
Would. That's yeah, I wonder why EA doesn't sell it. Like, if they don't want to do anything with it, they could sell that. I mean, somebody would buy that.
For a company that loves money as much as EA, you would think that we would see that by now.
But same anyway. With Mass Effect, too. Like, I'm surprised they haven't ported those to Switch.
Yeah.
They're heavily rumored, though.
Yeah, from what I understand is we might see those sooner rather than later.
Yeah, like this fall.
Yeah.
That's what I heard, yeah. Speaking of money and things that are expensive, did you guys see this Lego NES?
Mm, yeah.
This thing is awesome, yeah. Man. Oh, man, you guys can check out we've got a link in the show notes here, but man, this thing is freaking cool. So it's a replica of the NES. It obviously doesn't play games, but there's a replica of the system and then a cartridge and then a little TV, a CRT TV. And man, it looks so cool, but it is
$229.
Oh, damn. Shit.
Yeah, $229. Yeah. I saw $250. There's weirdness going on with the price. It said $250, then $229, and then I saw $200. Somewhere between $200 and $250.
I feel so bad for the kids who are buying the Legos. I feel so bad for the parents of the kids who want the Super Mario Lego sets. I'm like, yeah. Oh God.
And it's 2,646 pieces, so you guys can have fun with that.
Legos are very expensive, I've learned in my adult life, as somebody who now purchases Legos for themselves. I didn't ever no realize how expensive they were. But like,
you sounded a little embarrassed.
Oh
there,
no, not at all. Just I felt bad for my parents because I'd always asked them for Lego sets when I was a kid, and I was like, yeah, like in my head, I was like, oh, this is $5 or whatever. And then like, I look at Lego prices now, and I'm like, or even if they were half of what they are now, that's still like pretty expensive for essentially plastic that just bolts together itself.
Yeah, strange. So I don't know when that's coming. I don't think there's a release date for that yet, but you guys can.
Are you? Is anybody gonna? I'm not gonna get it because I can't justify the price. But
I can't justify that price.
No.
Either. If it was like $100, I'd probably buy it.
Oh, August 1st. August 1st. Yeah, right.
I'm looking at the website right now.
Are you gonna get one, Jesse?
So here's the thing. I'll tell myself that I won't get it, and then suddenly I will own it, and I will black out in between the time of saying I won't get it and it showing up at my apartment. And so chances are I will probably end up with this thing.
And you'll be in the hole $250 somehow.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll add up.
How did this happen?
Yeah. Oh. All right. Well, that's pretty much it for the quick stuff. And then, yeah, we can jump into the news proper here. Is everybody ready for some news?
Let's do it.
I am ready.
And this is for me. This is a me story. I know you guys, this bores you to tears. This bores you to tears, but every month we got to cover this. All right. So NPD results are out for the month of June, courtesy of Matt Piscatella and the NPD group. Let's just run through the top 10 here, and then we'll talk about any standouts. No surprise, Last of Us Part 2 is number 1, Modern Warfare number 2, Animal Crossing New Horizons at 3, Grand Theft Auto 5, Mortal Kombat 11, Red Dead Redemption 2, Ring Fit Adventure. Now, I want to talk about that shortly. Ring Fit Adventure at number 7, NBA 2K20, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, and Minecraft Dungeons. So, yeah, pretty much everything, no surprise, except for Ring Fit. Now, let me give you some backstory on Ring Fit. Just for some context, last month, it was charting at the 835th spot and is now at number 7. So what happened here is this game came out last year in the fall sometime of 2019, and it sold out, and then they never like restocked basically until now, until June. They finally restocked, and it saw a resurgence in people buying it. So now it climbed up, 800 and something spots up to number 7, surpassing Mario Kart 8 and Minecraft Dungeons and all that. So that game's awesome. If you haven't played it, I recommend it, and get your hands on a copy. Anybody have any thoughts on the NPD results for the month of June?
Yeah, Persona 4 Golden actually made the top 20 as well, when it released on PC for Steam.
Great point.
So that's huge too for the Persona series, and hopefully that will encourage Atlus to bring their games over to Switch and PS4. That'd be nice.
Interesting about that, previous month it was at 615, so quite a big jump for that one as well.
Yeah.
Jesse, any thoughts on NPD?
So I was always fascinated by the fact that Grand Theft Auto 5 would always break into the top 10, top 5, like month after month after month. And yeah. So I did some digging, and I realized, and you might know this already, but the reason Grand Theft Auto 5 ends up in the top of the NPDs every month is because it's cheaper to buy the game on sale to get the shark cards for the online currency than it is to purchase the online currency at face value.
So, it's insane. So I'm so glad you brought that up. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, like people will buy the Grand Theft Auto 5 whatever edition that comes with $1 million in shark cards at a $10 value or whatever, as opposed to buying the $1 million on the store for 20. And that's why it keeps showing up all the time.
So Josh had actually proposed that a few weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago, actually. And when he said that, I'm like, that totally makes sense. Yeah. So that's really funny that you bring that up. Now, how does that work, though? If you already own the game, does it – I guess it lets you buy it again?
Well, like, so you're not buying a digital version of the game. You're buying something from, like, GameStop or Best Buy or Amazon. You're buying a physical copy that has the cards inside the box.
Man, even now, though, when, you know,
I feel like it probably still let you buy a digital copy, though, right?
No, I'm just saying,
PlayStation, it doesn't let you because unless you buy it like a different version. So like you could buy the digital deluxe version, but you can only buy that version once, because when you go to click purchase, it'll just say download.
Right. Yeah. I had a brain.
And then they can take it in and just trade it in for like $20 and kind of.
That's what people are doing. My God. Yeah. It's fascinating. It's so crazy.
I love it. It makes perfect, because like, yeah, you're right. Every month, it's like in the top five, and it just doesn't make sense. Wow.
Joseph, something that Jeff Grubb said today on Kind of Funny that I thought of you immediately. He said if a new game comes out and doesn't outsell GTA 5, then he considers it a failure. He's like, because no matter what the game is, if it's a new game, it should surely be able to, you know, like it should crack into that. So if GTA 5 outsells a new game, then the game's a failure. I thought that was neat.
Well, I guess people have different metrics.
And so, just real quick, Ring Fit, also the fact that everyone's stuck at home is probably another indication of like why that thing is surging.
And everybody's like, going to get ripped.
Yeah. Right? Do your workouts, your squats.
I'm going to buy that soon because of everything Joseph said about it. Like, it's great. I didn't know if it would work good. And then you guys have said it works. So, you know, and it already looked fun to me.
They figured out the video gamifying workout. They figured it out.
It's like really heavy on the video game side. It's not just like, you know, workout slapped with a video game on top of it.
Like
it's
the like, Wii Fit or like whatever.
Right, yeah.
That's my dream workout game, dude.
Yeah, it's awesome. You got to get your hands on it. So let's move on to a little bit less of a happy story here. So just let me give some context on this one. And yeah, we'll cover a couple points here. So big popular streamer Dr. Disrespect got banned from Twitch for seemingly no reason. Well, not for no reason, but they never really publicly said why. And Steven Messner over at PC Gamer actually was able to interview him, and the publicist was there as well. And it just was fascinating. I don't know if you guys got a chance to read this. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, and I mean, definitely give PC Gamer the click on this one, but there are a couple points I wanted to go through. So throughout this interview, Dr. Disrespect, or I guess his name is, what is it, Guy Beam, something like that. He was pretty heavily regulated by his publicist there. Like, there was a lot he couldn't say. But a couple points here. The first thing is that they don't know why he got banned. So there's that. Second thing is that he will not be returning to Twitch. So that's the other point. And that he's sort of like contemplating what he's going to do next, if he's going to go to a different platform or do his own thing, you know, on his own platform, something like that. And based on the way Twitch handled it, they said that they were considering taking legal action, which is interesting to me. Now, there are some theories as to like maybe why he might have been banned. A lot of it had to do with like coronavirus conspiracies that he was talking about. I don't know,
like 5G and shit. Yeah, he's crazy, right, with that stuff.
It's weird because he's like a character. That, I don't know. It's complicated. But anyway, I don't know if you guys got a chance to see this. Jesse, do you have any thoughts on this? Do you have any, like, do you know?
Yeah. So my group of friends from home that are not super involved in the gaming industry, they follow streamers. So they came to me a lot asking a lot about this Dr. Disrespect stuff because, you know, somebody they watched on occasion or whatever. And so it's been kind of like a hot topic amongst my, like, home group of friends. And so my kind of thoughts on this are that I think the reason this is not getting spoken about in a open way, a lot of, like, the way you see other cases come out and, like, you kind of know all the information, is that I would imagine that he is tied up in some sort of, like, litigation, and so legally no one can really speak about what is going on. That is, like, my current theory. However, he says that Twitch has not notified him about why he was banned.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm confused about that because I feel like if you sign a big multi-million dollar contract with a corporation and they terminate you, I'm getting a Discord call. Sorry about that. If you're in a big contract with a giant streamer, I feel like you can't just terminate them without telling them what happened. I feel like that opens you up to being sued for, like, breach of contract. I'm not a lawyer, so I don't want to, you know, take everything I say with a grain of salt, but I don't know. The whole situation seems very weird to me.
Yeah, somebody's either, like, lying or being sort of, I don't know, like, sneaky. I don't know. It's just, yeah, I'm with you on that. Chris, any thoughts on this?
Yeah, a few thoughts. Like, during his last stream in the last few minutes, he seemed to, like, look at the screen and he was shocked by something. He seemed, like, distressed. So I don't know what that was about. It's fascinating what's going on right now, by the way. But yeah, it's very odd. I think it's something to do with, like, streaming or, like, being exclusive to Twitch and him maybe making his own network. That's a theory I've been hearing, and that kind of makes sense. But also on Twitch's side, I've heard I watched a YouTube channel called Hoag Law. I don't know if you heard of them. Hoag is a friend. But he mentioned that Twitch might be cancelling the contract so they don't pay him.
Jesus. Is that even legal?
And they tried to find any... No, the reason why it's legal, Hoag said, is that they were looking for anything in his streams for a breach of contract.
Like a loophole or something.
Yeah, like something he did, like, for example, shooting his camera inside of a toilet at E3.
Yeah.
It's just goddamn idiotic, you know?
Yeah.
Something like that. Just try to find an excuse in something he said or has done over the last few years.
Interesting. Josh, any thoughts on the Dr. Disrespect?
Yeah,
story
so here? Along the same lines of as Chris, except for, like, I think the reason for that isn't so much money. Not that Chris was saying that, but I think that the reason they're doing this is Twitch is owned by Amazon. They don't really need money because they own money pretty much exclusively.
It's true.
So I think the reason that they're doing this is because at his best, he was fairly consistently toxic and generally kind of a liability. With the way he kind of acted and stuff. And I think Twitch is trying to work on cleaning that up because that's been a big complaint against Twitch for a long time. So I think what happened is they gave him leeway all the time because of money. And then eventually it wasn't worth the money. It wasn't worth the negative press that could come with him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think they basically, like Chris said, I think they went back and they were like, we could have gotten rid of you for these reasons. And we're doing that now, you know?
Interesting. Yeah. I think we'll find out soon enough. It's just weird that, you know, we haven't heard anything yet.
I really think you're right, Jesse, that they're staying silent because there's a court proceeding going on.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
he would have come out and just said something.
Yeah.
He's that type of
person. Interesting. Very. Yeah.
Or we'll Twitch would. Soon. Twitch would be like, no, it's like pretty cut and dry. It's this. Bye.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out soon enough on that. I hope.
Good riddance, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. we'll be okay.
Yeah. All right.
People
so
give. I just want to say really quick. People give Ninja stuff. I know they give him crap for stuff. I know that he's definitely not perfect, but he at least appears to try to be, you know, like wholesome. You know what I mean? Like he doesn't seem to be so aggressive.
He said the N-word a few times.
Oh, I forgot about that. Okay, never mind. He's gone too. I don't really watch streamers, so it's hard for me to keep up.
Josh, I love it.
It's true. It's the idea that these people are role models and they don't necessarily act like role models.
Yeah.
What concerns me is that all these popular people and streamers are complete jerkbags. Like,
yeah.
What does that say about our community? You know what I mean?
Like, it makes our community look bad and doesn't even really fully represent us, because there's a lot of, you know, really good people in the game industry.
Yeah.
But when the face of it is, you know, toxic, or, I mean, you know, even if it's not like illegal, like if they're just an asshole, then it just makes us look bad.
I mean the face or one of the faces of Twitch is a man named Dr. Disrespect.
Right? Yeah, like like
somebody not the best somebody look. Tweeted that we need to get Dr. Respect. I forgot who. Oh, it was Victor Lucas. Yeah, he was saying that we need to maybe we should get Dr. Respect as a big streamer.
He's not even a doctor. Show me his medical license.
That's why they fired him. Twitch was like, hey, we did some research and you're not even a doctor.
That's why they're getting rid of him.
I also hate seeing his bloody fake mustache and hair. Like, get out of it.
As someone with a moderately fine mustache and moderately fine hair, I'm insulted by his dumb mustache.
But I said fake, yes.
Hey, yeah, Joseph, you don't look like a 1980s like villain in a Tom Cruise movie, you know?
All right, let's talk about some Xbox. Josh, I'm sure you'll be excited about this. Okay, so maybe a little bit of a not as happy story, but then big, super happy story. Okay, so let's start off with Microsoft is discontinuing production of Xbox One X, One S digital editions ahead of the Xbox Series X launch. I guess that makes sense to me. It seems a little early, but there must be a lot already out in the wild. Like, they must know that already, and the numbers must have, you know, added up, I guess. And I guess nobody's really like buying an Xbox One right now, so I guess it's fine. Does anybody have any sort of ideas as to if this is early?
No, I think it makes perfect sense. Greg Miller was talking about it kind of funny today, and he was saying that, and I agree with him, that's why I'm just saying what he said. He was saying, like, if you wanted an Xbox by now, you probably already bought one. Like, same with PlayStation 4. Like, if you wanted one really bad, you already have one. And this makes it so that they can focus on making, you know, the new Xbox in safer conditions and make sure that they can, you know, ship, you know, the number they want to. And then on top of that, I mean, the Series X, they've said this numerous times. Everything that plays in the Xbox One and then some is going to play on the Series X. So, like, you don't even need an Xbox One anymore if you don't want one. And if you really wanted one, you'd already have one. So I think it's smart. And it also makes things less confusing for parents, too. They could just go buy Xbox.
The naming convention. Like, when I worked at GameStop, I just would hear parents talking about video games, and it's just like, holy.
My favorite was when they wanted to buy the Wii U tablet. Not the system, they already have the Wii.
Right. Yeah. Holy crap. Jesse, what do you think of this? You think this is a little early? You think it makes sense? You excited?
So I'm with Josh on a lot of this. It makes sense. The one thing that I was kind of surprised about is that, you know, we always knew that at some point they would stop discontinuing the older generation, right? Like, that's just the natural progression of things. Sure. I always kind of thought they would discontinue the base models and then make the One X the base model with a price cut, because the leap is less it's still big between the One X and the Series X, but I always just kind of assumed that, like, that would get a price cut and move down, and then they would kind of like shift over. And so to see the X go, I thought was a little strange, but clearly, you know, people much smarter than I are making decisions there, and they have mapped all of this out and figured it out. And so, yeah, like Josh said, like, if you have an Xbox, if you wanted an Xbox, you probably already got one. So they're keeping the Xbox One S regular, but they're getting rid of the X and the S all digital, I believe. Yeah. You know, I really like the Xbox One S all digital just because it was the Xbox sad, and I think that's really funny. But yeah, other than that, yeah, just, you know, it makes sense.
I can't believe nobody caught that, like, in the meeting where they were like, I don't know how that...
They should have just called PlayStation and been like, hey, we're thinking about calling this, what would you guys say? And they'd be like, haha, it's a dumb name, it's sad. And they'd be like, oh, shit, they got us. Okay, all right, thanks, guys. It would have been a really funny conference call.
Chris, anything to say on this one? No, it's not really a whole lot.
Yeah, I thought it was weird, honestly. Just because, like... people like to budget with their gaming, you know, like some people don't transfer to the next generation for like years and years.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, like, there's some markets there that could really buy the Xbox One, you know, and be happy with it.
Well,
would you guys... especially with all the Series X games being backwards compatible. But here's another thing. They have that extra console that's being rumored. I can't remember what it's called now.
Oh, Lockhart. Yeah.
Lockhart, yeah. And that's supposed to be a cheaper option of the Xbox Series X, like with streaming capabilities. So that could be their plan for budget gamers.
Would you guys also believe me if I told you if you went to any store right now, you would find an Xbox One that hasn't been purchased yet?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, they also probably know this thing sold like dick. So, you know, if you want to go buy some, like, there's, you know, my Walmart's always had Xboxes.
It's sad, really, isn't it?
Oh.
That's a yell?
They're upset right? About
Xbox. That was a sneeze.
Oh, that was a sneeze.
That was a sneeze.
Oh, I was so confused about what just happened.
My dad is very, very loud.
That is a dad sneeze.
That is
totally...
literally the worst place in the world to record a podcast.
That's a dad rule, though. Like, you have to sneeze like you're dying. Like, you have to.
That's so funny. Oh, God. All right. Josh, I know you're excited about this. Microsoft will be launching xCloud streaming free with Xbox Game Pass Ultimate in September. So this is essentially... kind of like Stadia in a way, where you're going to be able to stream your Xbox games onto other devices like a phone, computer, whatever. And I think this is so smart, and I think a lot of people sort of expected this. Josh, give me the rundown on this. Give me your thoughts. I'm sure you're very excited.
Yeah, so I'm not probably personally going to use xCloud a lot, just because I tend to... I stay home a lot, like even before, you know, COVID-19. And if I am away, it's somewhere where I probably can't play a game anyway. It's the same reason I don't usually play my Switch in handheld mode. You know, it doesn't work out. But I'm really excited about this new technology and this being a thing. And yeah. I think it's really smart that they're wrapping it into Game Pass Ultimate, because that means for $15 a month for the standard price, you're getting the Game Pass library, you're getting your games of gold, you're getting, you know, the online features and stuff. And then on top of that, you could also play, I'm just going to say your library, because your library at that point is everything you own, and also Game Pass. At that point, you can play your library anywhere you're at. And I think that's, you know, that's really cool. I like that they're blurring the line between consoles. I know some people don't like that. I think that's a great idea. I think it's a great thing to blur, because at the end of the day, you just want to play your game. Like, you know, it doesn't really... You care about the bells and whistles, but I mean, ultimately you care what it does for your game, and that's what you mostly care about. It's kind of like people say they really care about their insurance and things like that. No, you just want to go to the doctor. You know, you don't want it to cost a lot. Like, you don't really care about those nitty gritty details. If you can play your game and it looks and sounds great on your fucking phone or your computer, your Xbox One through the cloud, you know, like through xCloud, and you know, then you're not going to care. So I think that's really cool. And I also think it's going to potentially make things really good for PlayStation Now, because Sony is going to have to make adjustments for PlayStation Now, because at this point you're looking at, what is that, $10 a month for Now, I think?
It's more than that.
No, I thought it was $60.
Is it 10?
No, it's $60 for the year.
Okay.
So,
I mean, PlayStation Now in itself, I mean, on its own, it's not a bad thing, but like... This is a really great value at this point. You know, $15 a month for all
that's
this
crazy
stuff. And that's wrapping that Game Pass Ultimate includes gold too. So this would be like combining PlayStation Now and PlayStation Plus, you know?
I guess I didn't realize it was that inexpensive. For $15 a month, yeah. Man, that's awesome. Chris?
And you know, the big thing is that, like, Halo Infinite will be playable on day one with Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah.
And then you can stream it on your PC. So that will give so much access to a lot of markets that Microsoft hasn't tapped before, really. So I think that would be a big thing if they market it right.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting. Jesse, are you somebody who's interested in actually using the xCloud features?
I'm curious to try it out. I don't know how much of it I will end up using because, like Josh had said, I'm not a big on-the-go gamer. I generally do most of my gaming at home. And so I don't see this being like a selling point for me, but also just like Game Pass is such a good value, like, and now it just got even better. Like,
right. Like if you already have Ultimate, it's not like you're out, like,
right.
You're not yeah, any worse off true. Now. Right. So,
right. It's more value has been added, and like Microsoft is showing time and time again, it's doubling down on its services. And I think this is just, you know, all around a great thing for people who play video games.
I do have this sort of fantasy that, like, you know, once we're all back to normal and traveling again and whatever, that you're, like, waiting on your plane or you're waiting, whatever, and you're like, I think I'm going to play some Halo Infinite. And you just whip out your phone and it works. Yeah. That's, like, a fantasy of mine, you know? I don't know that it actually will work that great on, like, shitty, you know, airport Wi-Fi, but... I don't know. I think it'd be kind of cool.
And another thing to keep in mind is that there are way more mobile players than console players at this point.
Yeah.
So that's like a power play.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
terms of like
one of the things that Microsoft Phil Spencer said is not just now, but like, you know, in the past, is that xCloud potentially turns anything that connects the internet to an Xbox. And then he was saying that's pretty cool. He was saying some people might think, oh, you're not selling an Xbox. He's like, but you're playing our games, you're in our ecosystem, you're using our services. That's what, I mean, that matters just as much, if not more. Also, too, a quick shout out, Blessing, over on Kind of Funny. He was talking about, where does this leave Stadia? Like, he was just pointing out, like,
Stadia's dead.
But I mean, like, this like, seals it for them. Like, Stadia can't try to give a value this good because they don't own a bunch of games already. You know, like, this just kind of puts the nail in that. Even if you're not an Xbox person. This puts the nail in Stadia's coffin, and this also makes it so Sony's going to probably improve, you know, PS Now and PS Plus. So this is a super good thing for the industry, too.
Yeah.
I just thought of a nightmare scenario.
What's that?
Tell.
Google buying WB Games.
Oh, no. Oh. Chris, don't say that. Oh, now that's God. Out there.
Oh,
now you're
going
to have to buy Stadia to play, like, Mortal Kombat and Batman.
God.
Nothing says Mortal Kombat more like playing over an internet connection. Like, it's just no.
Samurai Showdown, like, just look at videos of Stadia running. It's fucking awful.
That's how 2020 is going, though, so you know.
It's very fitting.
Giggle, don't.
God.
Don't do it.
So that about wraps us up for the news.
Oh, I wanted to mention the two other Xbox things. Yeah, sorry. Okay. I forgot. These are quick, though. They're just, I think they're worth mentioning. So the first thing is Kinda Funny's Xbox show is going into a pilot. It's going to be 6 episodes to start. And Greg was saying it's basically to see if there's an audience for it. He's like, I'm sure there is, but they want to check and see. And it's not just like, is there an Xbox? Is there a desire for an Xbox Kinda Funny podcast? Because he's like, obviously there is. He's like, we've heard people say there is. But it's also, you know, COVID-19 is going on and, you know, things like that, and it's maybe harder to get sponsors, etc. But so this helps them get numbers to, you know, show to sponsors, basically, if they do 6 episodes. And then the other thing I wanted to mention on that is it starts this Saturday, so it by the time this episode goes live, it's already you know, it's already aired the first episode. But January 18th is the first episode, and they're also doing
a July
18th. Yeah, shit, yeah, sorry, time's
time.
Not circle. Yeah, so July 18th, and then they're also doing a show for the Xbox conference as well, but other than that, it's going to be every Saturday for the next 6 Saturdays, and it just keeps getting better. So the 3 hosts for this new show, which is called XCast, is Snowbike Mike, Alana Pierce, and Gary Whitta, and I'm so fucking excited, because that's going to be a really fucking cool...
That's a good lineup.
Yeah, it's a very good lineup. And Greg was talking about how when they were first starting to talk about this, they wanted to get certain people for it that they thought would be able to do it right. Because Greg was saying, ideally, like, you know, he wouldn't mind doing an Xbox podcast, but he knows he's not the one to do it. So he wants it to happen at Kind of Funny, but, you know, in the best way and conditions. And he said when they got to Alana Pierce as one of the people they wanted, they were like, she probably won't. But then he thought, well, why not check? And then she immediately said, yeah. So I'm super excited. I love Snowbeck Mike. Alana's awesome. Gary's awesome. And then...
Oh, and go Rogue One, by the way.
Oh, yeah. And then also the last bit of news I wanted to... so everybody, please, if you're thinking you're interested in that, like, don't check it out later. Check it out now. Even if you are busy, like, because... If you want it now, you need to show you want it now, because this, they're going to be using this, you know, the numbers to justify having it and everything. And then the last thing I want to mention is the Xbox, showcase event is on July 23rd. And expectations have been set. But when Aaron Greenberg was trying to manage expectations, I think it was kind of a cool announcement, because he said they're not talking studio acquisitions. They're not talking hardware. They're not talking anything like that, which I know some people want that, but they're talking about games and only games, and I think that's what I want right now. I want that to be announced. You know, that's the kind of thing I'm mostly excited about and want to hear first. And then also there's going to be an hour pre-show hosted by Jeff Keighley, and those are also that's also going to have announcements too. So, yeah, everybody check that out, because that's going to be cool.
And let's see, that is... Okay, so this episode will go live Monday the 20th. The 20th. So that's Thursday.
Yep.
So
yeah,
man, that's soon, huh? Okay,
that's gonna be a busy day for us.
Oh yeah, it is.
Oh, and Greg's also playing and streaming Halo for the first time. If anyone's interested, I just want to mention that to celebrate XCast, he's gonna be streaming Halo Combat Evolved, and it's his first time ever playing it. So
cool. All right, so let's take a little break, and then we'll come back, do a listener question, and then we'll jump into what we've been playing. So we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, everybody, and we are back. Thank you for joining us today. We're going to just do a listener question. We have one to get through here. And remember, you guys can reach us via Twitter at ActiveQuest. What is it? I always fuck this up, Chris. God damn it, every time. ActiveQuest Show.
You had an awesome streak.
I had like a 20-show streak, and then I fucked it. God damn it. We're leaving it. We're not cutting it. Who gives a shit? Get a hold
fuck
of
it. We'll do it live.
Yeah, we'll do it live. Yeah, you can get a hold of us on Twitter at ActiveQuest Show, or via email at activequestpodcast@gmail.com. Or every Wednesday we post our Twitter thread where we solicit questions from the audience, and it can be questions, comments, what kind of water we drink, what kind of how many strings we like on our guitars. The correct answer is as many as you can have: 8, 9, 10. Man, I saw this video of this guy. It was like stupid, like 20 strings on a... Who the fuck? Like, you couldn't even hold it. I don't even know what that is. Anyway, so we have a listener question. All right, so this is fucking bizarre. All right, so the person's... Okay, Jesus. On Twitter, the person's name is Number One Turner and Hooch Fan. And this is a movie. I think it's got Tom Hanks. Here, let me pull up...
It's a good movie. I mean, it's a pretty good movie. It's like a buddy cop comedy with Tom Hanks. Oh, it's on Disney Plus.
And there's a dog. Okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Starsky and Hutch.
No, this is Tom Hanks and his pit bull dog.
Okay. So this is actually one of my friends, and he lives nearby. We went to high school together. He asked. Okay, so on the thread we put, this is what we're going to talk about, blah, 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 and more. And he says, will the and more section cover the 1989 box office hit film Turner and Hooch? If so, my question is, why the heck haven't they made a sequel called Turner and Tooch?
Tooch.
It's a valid question.
I'm crying.
By the way, it has a 36% Metacritic and 52% on Rotten Tomatoes.
We've been talking as an industry lately that Ghost of Tsushima should be played even if you don't agree with Metacritic. So Chris, go watch this movie. It's on Disney Plus. Look, let's get into logistics here, okay? This had a budget of $13 million, and it grossed $71.1 million. So that is a box office hit.
Wow, he's right. I thought he was being funny. Yeah, that's true. Huh, 1989, that's the same year that Batman came out, the Tim Burton Batman movie.
Well, that two movie's very luckily, different films. It still made money because Turner and Hooch also came out that year. Chris, just to give you an idea, check out the, I just put the box art in the chat. That dog is great, and I love that dog. Mm-hmm. When he first gets this dog, he leaves for a few hours, then he comes back, and this dog has ruined his apartment, drooled all over his furniture, ripped up his vinyl records. You know,
God, that is a young Tom Hanks.
I have some information for y'all.
Okay.
So I just looked up Turner and Hooch 2 to see what would come up, and Disney Plus is doing a TV series. You're okay.
What?
Oh, really?
The classic 1989's buddy cop comedy featured Turner and Hooch is getting a TV series for Disney Plus.
He probably already knew.
December 16th, 2019 is when this article was written.
Oh my God!
It's happening. Your dream is coming true.
Oh,
when's it coming
God.
Out?
It's being.
I will say this.
It's the creator of Burn Notice, Matt Nix.
Oh my God!
Well, there you go.
That sounds awesome. I wonder. Maybe this time there'll be two dogs.
Turner and Tooch. Hopefully, it's one of Hooch's puppies.
God, that Tuner fucking and kills Hooch. Me. Turner and Tooch. Oh. Shit.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm waiting for the Tom Hanks classic sequel of, you know, you've got. Zoom or you've got Discord. I want to see that film.
You've got DMs.
Oh no. No.
God, you know what's funny? I know we got to move on. We've spent too much time on this, but really quick, this picture of Turner and Hooch, Tom Hanks, he looks a lot like Bill Murray.
The dog? Oh, okay. I was like, Joseph, come on, man.
Oh, God.
Bill Murray is a national treasure.
The dog! Oh, no. Oh, God, I'm crying. Okay. All right, let's move on. Jesus Christ. I don't know what that has to do with video games, but...
He was a cat.
Was he? Oh, he was a cat.
He was Garfield.
He was
so,
a cat.
I guess to answer his question, that does cover that, because we just talked about it for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Also, right. Quick fun fact about the Garfield movie. The only reason Bill Murray was in that is because the director, their last name's Cohen, and so Bill Murray thought the Cohen brothers were making a Garfield movie, and he was like, fuck yeah, and he signed up immediately without reading the script, because he didn't want anybody else to get the opportunity.
Oh, God, Bill Murray.
Wow.
All right, well, let's talk about some video games. Why don't we talk about what we've been playing? So let me just quickly say a couple things, and then we'll get into the media stuff. I just wanted to say I'm still playing Rocksmith, and I can now play the intro to Raining Blood.
Hell yeah.
I'm very proud of that.
It's very metal of you.
It is. And by the way, speaking of Slayer and Raining Blood, there's this restaurant in Chicago called Kuma's, and all their burgers are named after metal bands, and if you get the Slayer... I got it, man. The Slayer is nuts. It's just fucking craziness. It's like six kinds of meats, peppers, onions, cheese.
I want it.
Holy shit!
Like fries. All there's no bun. It's just spicy. And
I want it.
And it's cooked with anger.
I wish I knew this when I went to Chicago 2 years ago.
Well, oh, I mean,
I gotta go back
next time you go. Yeah, Kuma's too. It's Kuma. KUM. Or KUMA apostrophe S and then TOO.
Get Grayson on the phone. He's got to go.
Yeah, get Grayson. Yeah. What else? Oh, and then I platinum The Witness, which let me tell you about we don't have enough.
No,
time.
I'm so excited. I love The Witness. God. I'm so happy.
Chris. Now Chris, goddammit, I will not stand for it. No. I will not stand. Jesse, so you like The Witness?
I love The Witness.
So that game broke me, dude. It like broke me down, and it made me like reconsider what it is to be a human being. Like, it's that fucking crazy.
That sounds like fun.
That's the beauty of it.
I wouldn't call it fun. Would you call it fun, Jesse, The Witness?
I had a good time.
Did you finish it?
I did. I certainly did.
It is. Whew, that is a journey. So I got the platinum in it, and let me. We can talk about, you know, The Witness sort of in depth on a later episode, but basically it's a puzzle game. You've heard me talk about it before. You draw lines. That's essentially what it is. But the the beauty of it is in the rules it presents to you. And anyway, there's this challenge at the end of it, and you have, it's like 6.5 minutes to go through all these puzzles, and they're all randomized, and they're really freaking difficult, and you have to like take pictures with your phone and like flip the images on your phone while you're doing other things, and certain puzzles will tell you what to do for other puzzles, and it just breaks you down, and by the time you finish it, you're just like, I am a completely different person. Did you get that, Jesse?
Yeah, so I didn't get the platinum in it because I didn't do the additional challenge at the end. However, the one thing I absolutely love about The Witness is that it teaches you a mechanic in an area, and then by the end of that area, you have mastered that mechanic. So it is so good at teaching you something and then completely flipping that idea on its head by the end that you can look at a puzzle 100 different ways with this one mechanic. And I just think that it's crafted so well.
Right. And it got to the point where I was like in real life, like looking at the world around me, and I was like, oh shit, there's a puzzle and there's a puzzle. Oh Jesus Christ. Like it was like infiltrating my mind. It was crazy. Chris, and Josh, you guys have to play this game. I'm telling you, The Witness, you need to play it. You need to play it. You need to play it. Even for like 15, 20 minutes, as long as you can stand. Cause like, it's like taxing on your brain.
It's also beautiful.
Oh my god, it's fucking
installed for absolutely a long time. Okay. Xbox. I need to play it.
Here's another challenge.
What's that, Chris?
Okay. What's the Everyone's challenge? Listening.
Okay.
If you get us to 30 reviews, I will play this game.
Oh, holy shit.
I'll write 30 reviews right now.
Okay. All right. I'm done talking about The Witness. All right. Let me throw it over to you, Josh. Talk to us about The Witcher 3 and Fortnite, what you've been playing recently.
Okay, so I bought OK Normal a couple months ago on Steam. It's from 98 DMake. You've probably seen his YouTube videos. They're really like, he'll take like a modern game, make it look like, you know, like a older like PS1 game. It's really weird. It was just kind of like it looks like PS1 graphics where things look scarier than they should look because like they're just like distorted and interesting in weird ways. I don't know. It's like a fever dream, but like mixed with like vaporwave music. It was really weird.
That sounds awesome. What's the gameplay though?
It's basically moving this character around these weird areas that kind of loop, and then you have to collect these things in the area to unlock a portal, and then eventually this giant skull was chasing me and its eyes were scary. And then
what are you talking about?
On this like maze world right now.
I'm into it.
And you sure you didn't take an acid trip?
Dude, this sounds like drugs.
It's cool. I mean, I definitely was inebriated while I play, which added and took away from my experience. I'm gonna play some more. I streamed it too. It was pretty crazy. Somebody was watching it. They're probably disturbed like me.
What is it on?
I got it on Steam.
Oh, I'm gonna check this out. This sounds really cool.
Yeah,
it's really weird. It's only $3 too.
Oh, hell yeah.
Cool. What about Fortnite, Josh?
Fortnite has been fun. I've been playing it here and there. The new season or chapter or whatever, I forgot the terminology, started. And it's been pretty cool. Like, season. The map's, like, half underwater and there's, like, giant sharks and stuff.
Dude, it's crazy. You can cast a fishing rod at a shark and you'll, like, hook it. And then it'll, like, take you around the map. You can, like, ski behind
it. Oh, it's like a taxi.
Yeah. And then the sharks will kill you too. So as soon as you get off the taxi, you got to run.
Yeah.
Because they can come onto land, but if you destroy them, then like they usually have good weapons inside their bellies and stuff. Yeah, it's really fun. I enjoy it. It's kind of my go-to for if I want to play a game but don't have a lot of time to get too invested, because that's fun for 10 minutes or an hour. You know, it's just fun.
Dude, Fortnite's awesome. I don't care what anybody says.
I like Fortnite. I'm not good at it, but I like it.
It's popular for a reason.
Right.
And then The Witcher 3, I'm probably like an hour or two, and I'm not super far. I'm bad at Gwent, but I think I know how to play. It reminded me of Pazok from KOTOR, in that like this is a really cool concept, but for some reason I'm dumb and can't play it efficiently. You know? Huh.
What do you think of the rest of the game, though? There's a
Oh, I really like
quite
it.
There's quite a bit of game outside of Gwent.
Yeah.
No, the game is
great. I've heard that people complain about the combat, but I don't get it. I like the combat. I don't understand why people don't like the combat.
Yeah, I think that came out the same year as Bloodborne, and I think people were just so high on Bloodborne that when The Witcher came out, like, it was awesome, but they were just like, Something about this combat's a little weird after
it's playing just an action RPG. It's not supposed to be super, you know, counter block. And I mean, there is countering and parrying, but it's not going to be as in-depth as Bloodborne's thing because it's not Bloodborne.
I like
it. Yeah, combat. I think you're right. That's probably why, though.
Yeah, I didn't hate the combat in The Witcher. It did what it needed to do. It got me through that game.
That game is like crazy. Like, it still holds up, I think. I do. And I played it on Switch, which is like not a great place to play it. The Switcher and Saber Interactive did the port for that, or they helped with the port with that. It still, I think, is pretty good on Switch.
That's the bar for ports, I think, too. If you port a game to Switch that came out like pre like 2018 and it's bad, I'm immediately going to point at The Witcher and go, hey, that game was ported really well and the entire game was on the cartridge, so what's up?
Yeah,
I like it. I'd like to see what maybe a new Witcher game would look like, or I don't know. I'm not done with Geralt yet. And I love the show. Did you guys see the show?
I did.
I'm going to watch it after I play the game. Finish the game. But
you haven't seen the show? Oh, it's really good. It's really good. It's cool. Awesome. So, Chris, we'll talk about Ghost of Tsushima here in just a second. Talk to us a little bit about Rocket Arena.
Yeah, Rocket Arena is a new game that's been published by EA under the Originals banner. And it's surprisingly good. I was like, okay, I just wasted $40 on this, haven't I? Like, the menu gives off that PlayStation All-Stars feel, you know what I mean? Where like cheap and it's got really bad design at the front. But like, when you actually get in the game, the gameplay's super solid. Like, it's very unique where you're flying around, you're shooting rockets at each other. Everyone has different abilities going on. And you've really got to think about what you can do in the battle, and what strategies you can add into the game. there's like about 8 different characters, I think, all of their own unique weapons and skills and stuff. And I think there's a value there that they're going to put in more stuff in, like free updates and such. It's super fun just because you have to combo your rockets and together, and it's really, really fun just to figure out the mania that's going around you and and just figuring out what's going on in the game.
So is this early access or is it out?
No, it's out. It's completely out. I think it was in a beta like a year ago on PC.
Okay.
It was originally going to be free to play, but they changed to the $40 model. But like, there is a battle pass coming up and all that. There's a store like in Crash Team Racing. That you can buy like cosmetics and stuff.
Oh, interesting.
But I don't think there's any pay to win kind of like situations in this game at all.
Cool.
I'm really enjoying it. It has a lot of personality. Gives me those Overwatch vibes, and I'm actually really liking it, which is surprising.
And which platform are you playing on?
PS4. But it's also crossplay, you can play on PC, Xbox One, or PS4.
Awesome. All right, Jesse, let me hear your thoughts on Deadly Premonition 2. Very curious to hear your thoughts.
All right, so Deadly Premonition 2 was probably my most anticipated game this year, hands down.
Crazy.
Love Deadly Premonition 1. Like, I adore that game so much. And I'm about, I want to say, like 3-ish hours into Deadly Premonition 2, and I'm happy to report that I'm enjoying my time with it. It is a mess, but I'm loving every moment of it, because and I'm sure you've seen a lot of this sentiment on the internet, just like, that game is supposed to run like garbage. That is like part of the charm of that game. And because the first one ran so poorly and the voice acting was bad, and it all just kind of fit into that like small town quirky Twin Peaks like aesthetic. And while I don't think, so far at least, that 2 has hit the highs of the first game for me, I'm still enjoying my time with it. I've got so much more to go. I've seen some stuff on the internet about their handling of certain characters and stuff, and Swery himself has even come out and said, hey, we handled this poorly. We're actually going to put out a patch to address this.
Yeah, I saw that.
And so I'm waiting to see what happens with that before I push forward in the story, because I would want to play a more like definitive version of that game if he is going to patch it. And so I'm waiting on that. But I think overall, like, it's still fun to be Francis York Morgan. Like, it's still weird, and you ride a skateboard through the streets of New Orleans because someone stole your car. And so instead of just getting a new car because you're an FBI agent, you just ride your skateboard through the streets, and the game runs at like 8 frames a second when you're doing that. And God. It's so weird.
So, like, I've seen footage of it just running comically mm-hmm. badly. Is that like your experience with it as well?
Yeah.
Like,
so I was talking to my friend Jay yesterday about it, and he's a little bit further ahead than I am. And he was saying, and I've had the same experience, that when you get to the open world section of the game, the skateboarding areas, like, that is what runs really bad. But when you're in like an interior, when you load into something, it runs fine.
Oh, okay. So it's not like the Outer Worlds then.
That's no, fine. And like the game doesn't look great ever. It's just like, you know, Swery's kind of got that style, and that's kind of what his games look like. And Deadly Premonition 2 has a style, and it's not great at times, but, you know, it sticks to that, and, like, it runs at a respectable frame rate when you're, like, doing stuff inside of buildings or you're in a contained scene.
They did confirm that there are going to be performance fixes over the next few months, I think, but... They're just putting those plans into motion. They're trying to figure out when they're going to release that
stuff.
Yeah,
and I haven't found that the... Like, it runs at a bad frame rate, docked and handheld, but also it hasn't, like, impeded my ability to play through it, because a lot of those open world sections are you kind of just going from point A to point B. It is a lot of you just, like, riding around in, like, big open streets, so you're not really missing anything. Like, the environments don't look that great, so you're not, like... missing much, because the heart of that game is in its characters and is in its story. So as long as that stuff continues to be good, the rest of it around it doesn't necessarily bother me personally.
Do you think the discussion around it is warranted because of how badly it runs, or do you think people are blowing it out of proportion?
So
good question.
I think there's two camps, right? So there's the camp of people who knew exactly what this game was going to be, and if you go to like any YouTube video of pre-release footage, people are commenting like, this looks like it runs like shit, it's perfect. And like, that is IGN put up 17 minutes of gameplay, and the top comment is exactly that. And it's so I think there's those people, but then I'm with them for the most part. But this game is also $50, and I think when you pay $50 for something,
yikes,
there's a certain expectation that the game will run. And so I sympathize with people who are upset, because, you know, at the end of the day, you bought a product, and you deserve to have that product, like, be worth your $50. And so, I mean, it's hard, because it's like, I think it's a case-by-case thing, but I totally understand why people would be upset with how poorly this runs, considering that in some cases it runs worse than the first game, which came out, like, 10 years ago.
I was also wanted to ask you, too, do you think... Because this is what I was wondering. I'm just speculating. I didn't read this anywhere or whatever. I don't have anything to back it up. But I'm just curious. Do you think that maybe this wasn't originally planned for the Switch, but was in development, and then Nintendo scooped it up, and they were like, well, let's see if we can make this happen?
So it's interesting, because I could see that being the case, but then I could also see it being, like, I don't think anybody... When this game was announced, nobody ever expected a sequel to Deadly Premonition. Like, it just wasn't a thing. It's something that people wanted, but it wasn't like, you know, it's a cult classic, right? It's a game that has a very dedicated following, but doesn't have like a mainstream appeal. So I would find it hard to believe that they were making it without somebody coming to them about it and being like, hey, we'll give you the money to develop this if you develop it exclusively for us. Kind of like the same way Bayonetta 2. Happened because Nintendo stepped in. And so I could see it, though, them being like, whatever, we'll develop this and we'll put our own money in it because we believe in our product. And then Nintendo came along and was like, but what if you just put it on the Switch? But if a game runs poorly on the Switch, like, you can't, like, I see some people, like, being like, oh, well, if it was running on other consoles, it'd be better. And it's like, no, this clearly isn't a Switch problem. This is a development problem. Yeah. Huh. And so, I don't know. I mean, I could see that being the case that, you know, they were developing it and Nintendo came along. But I could also see the flip side of Nintendo being like, we want to make this happen.
Now, is it, like, just something that kind of is just intentional? Because you were saying it's kind of part of it, or do you think this is just kind of a side effect and like because of money or whatever?
Because
I get the weirdness, because like I haven't played the game, but like I've heard it described and compared to like Twin Peaks, mm-hmm. and I love Twin Peaks, so I get that like Twin Peaks is supposed to be vague sometimes, it's supposed to be weird sometimes, but like the only thing I have trouble understanding is like why the performance is part of that. I'm not like trying to like be rude. I just don't understand.
No, because it's a fair question. Because so the first game ran poorly, and I think it worked in its favor accidentally, and so I think it just kind of became a running joke and kind of just became part of the appeal.
Like it's so bad, it's good.
Exactly. Fashion. And so what I've heard about Deadly Premonition 2 from people who have finished the game is that it's not a so bad it's good situation. It's just a mediocre situation. And I think
that's worse.
Yeah. That's the problem. And so I think when it comes to the frame rate specifically, I think that is just another, I don't want to say accident because, you know, people are working hard on this game, but I do not think that they intentionally made the frame rate this bad to like appeal to the likes of the first game. I genuinely think this game just has bad frame rate.
Gotcha.
And
hopefully they're able to patch. I'm probably going to check it out either way, though, because those games look really cool.
And I will say, the first game is on Switch, and it runs fine.
I bought it, and I can confirm it runs fine. I bought it just because like the first 2 hours of Deadly Premonition 2 was just so interesting for some reason. Like, the dialogue was strange, but intriguing, mm-hmm. you know? So I was, like, engaged by it for a long time, just watching a Let's Player just check it out. But, yeah, like, Deadly Premonition Origins is really cool. And I think I'd recommend it personally.
Yeah.
I think it's just so intriguing, so weird, and that it's just, it's luring me in, I guess.
Especially if you like Twin Peaks. It's basically, I don't want to say a carbon copy because it does do its own unique things, but it very heavily grabs from Twin Peaks in a lot of scenarios. Okay.
That's like an instant sell for me because I fucking love
Twin Peaks. I think you would really... Deadly Premonition 2 as a video game is... Deadly Premonition as a video game has its issues, but I think its story makes it all worth it.
So, gotcha. So, the issues are definitely there, but the game's worth it in spite of it.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, cool.
Interesting. I'm curious to see how that game ends up. Let's talk about another Switch game, though. I've been playing Paper Mario the Origami King. I'm not too far into it. I just want to cover its interesting battle system, because I think it's... I haven't really seen anything quite like it before. Obviously, it's a lot like the other Paper Mario games, but the one thing right off the bat is that this game is really funny. Like, it is so... like, it's like really cleverly written. It's not quite like self-deprecating humor, but it's almost that. It's like a Nintendoized version of self-deprecating humor, which I love. But yeah, the combat is cool. So how do you even describe it? Okay, so there are these like rings, and there's like an inner ring, and then a ring outside of that, and then a ring outside of that, and you have to turn the rings all to make it so that all of the enemies are lined up, so your attacks are more effective, basically, but you're on a timer, so you have to quickly get the rings all to match up. So then when they match up, it's like a turn-based sort of, it's not really an RPG as much as it is like an adventure sort of action game, but then you can select from your moves and attack your enemies and all that. I'm really excited to like keep playing this, because it's something that I think we need right now, especially in comparison to the other game that came out today, which is a lot darker, heavier, you know, more mature, I think. But yeah, I know a lot of people were sort of complaining that this is this Paper Mario game is not what they were wanting. And there's an interesting interview. I want to say it's Video Games Chronicle. We'll throw something in the show notes for the interview. But anyway, apparently the team that developed this, like, it's obviously it's Nintendo, but the developers themselves, like, had to get approval from, like, the higher ups, basically, to make any changes to Mario and all these, you know, main characters and stuff.
Miyamoto.
Yeah, and like they wouldn't give them approval to do that, and so that's why a lot of it is, like, the same. That
sucks.
Yeah, Miyamoto's always been really restrictive with story in Mario, which I think right. It's important to let him try to hold it back, because we don't want to get, like, a Big the Cat situation going on over here. Yeah. But I think that they need to have somebody that's got the same, like, level of power to kind of, you know, pull back, because Mario benefits from having, you know, some lore and story.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, all of the really interesting characters you've come across are ones that you, like, have never seen before. Like, like you meet this character, like, within the first, like, 10 minutes of the game, and it turns out that she's the sister of, like, the main villain, King Ollie, or whatever, and he's got this, like, emo hair. It's fucking awesome. Dude, it's so cool. Like, I think for the humor alone, this game is great, and I actually really like the combat. So, yeah, I recommend it so far. I'll report back next week when I've put more time into it, but so far, I'm into it, and people seem to be liking it online as well. So...
That's good.
Let's talk about Ghost of Tsushima. So that also came out today. This is Sucker Punch's latest game. They're the team that made the Infamous game. And this is sort of the last big PS4 exclusive that we know of. And pretty, I think, safe to say that it is the last exclusive, or the last big
one. Feels weird.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And so this is a third-person, open-world, samurai action sort of story heavy, lots of combat game. And yeah, general thoughts. I'm probably about 2 or 3 hours in. I've been doing a lot with the photo mode, because I actually have a project for work I'm doing with that. So I would be further in if I would have spent less time in the photo mode.
I mean, it's really pretty though. I get it.
It's a good photo mode.
Great photo mode. But yeah, so far I'm really liking it. I love how it feels to attack an enemy with a sword. That feeling of, like, the crunchiness and, like, the sound your sword makes when it hits the enemy. I know it's kind of brutal to talk about that, but there's a certain, like, feel that you have to get right. It's kind of like the feeling of getting the active reload in Gears of War. It's like a perfect feeling, and I think Sucker Punch nailed it, at least from a combat perspective. Jesse, let me get your early thoughts on Ghost of Tsushima. How far into it are you? How do you feel about it? Give me your thoughts.
So I played a bit last night, and then I played, it's actually loaded up right now on the screen next to me. I paused it so we could do this, but I just see it over in the corner of my room. It's very beautiful. I'm probably a few hours in. I've done a couple of, like, the main questline story stuff, or at least I think it's the main questline. I'm not really sure how to tell the difference between side missions and story missions. But I'm liking it so far. I thought the first hour was a little slow. I wasn't really buying what they were selling. But then once the world kind of opened up, I kind of got a grasp. I'm like, okay, this is what this thing is. I understand what to do. And I've just been riding around on my horse and walking and, you know, discovering stuff. And I've been having a good time.
Which horse did you pick?
So there was, like, the black, the white, and then, like, the dapple. I picked the Dapple, which is just, like, the gray horse. And then I named him Sora, obviously.
Obviously.
The obvious choice.
Chris, again, I could say mean things about Kingdom Hearts, but I won't, because I know how much it means to you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
I like how you just...
Wait, I shouldn't rail on Red Dead Redemption.
Especially since you're wrong. Like, that's the worst part. You're wrong.
Also, the Red Dead games have better titles. They're not confusing at all. It's just Red Dead and Red Dead 2.
It's just not my cup of tea.
All right. Let's bring it back to Ghost of Tsushima. So, I picked the black horse. I don't know if that matters. I forget what I named it. Shadow, maybe, because it was black. I guess that
makes sense. Only get, like, 3 options.
Yeah. So, Chris, it sounds like you weren't as hot on the first hour of it either. What was your take on it?
Yeah, it was just a bit slow. There was a lot of cutscenes, and I wasn't really invested in the characters at that point. But just like Jesse, as it opened up, like, I was in. Like, just that title screen alone, I was like, okay, this is what I'm in for now.
Yeah.
And I'm really enjoying it so far. Just seeing things in the distance, like the smoke, and then you go through this fort and take out all the bad guys. You know, like it's fun.
And
it's open world fun.
Right. And what do you think of the combat? Do you think it's as complex as you would like it to be? Is it too complex?
I think Sucker Punch should have gave us a bit more to start with. But I get the whole idea of him learning how to do all these moves as he's learning more and more about himself. That's kind of cool. It seems like the progression system is super rewarding and it has so many options for you. Like, if you want to focus on stealth, you can do stealth. If you want to focus on being more of a samurai, you can go that way. You know?
Yeah.
So it's got some good options there.
I like what you said about him learning about himself. There's this early scene where he's looking for his sword. I guess they took his sword and then
yeah.
he finds it. And then when he grabs onto the sword, it goes to like a flashback of him when he was younger and like training with his uncle, and that's where like the tutorial is.
That's the best way to do a tutorial.
Yeah, I think like, it's cool.
I did like that.
Yeah,
it feels really natural. Like, it doesn't feel like this is a video game. Here are the buttons you press, and we need to tell you that because it's a video game, and that's how you're supposed to do it. It's like, okay, yeah, he's thinking about when he first practiced, or maybe not when he first did it, but when he was, you know, practicing with the sword and his uncle. Okay, that makes sense. So I thought that was really beautifully done. Yeah, so I haven't really gotten too far into the openness. There was actually an article on Twinfinite. I think Alex Gibson wrote it, and it's about the size of the map.
Yeah.
And from what I've seen, it's not too terribly big, which is actually a selling point for me.
Yes. Yeah, I feel like Sucker Punch is pretty good at making dense maps. They're not necessarily huge, but they are filled with stuff.
I prefer
yeah.
that,
yes.
you know?
I
like,
do
I don't want to have to walk really far just to get the things to do.
That's what I liked about Spider-Man.
Assassin's Creed is way too big.
Like, Spider-Man was dense, and there was a lot of stuff, and it was easy to get around, and you could do it all.
Hey, on the topic of Spider-Man, I know we're getting a little bit off track here. As a New Yorker, what did you think of the map in Spider-Man?
So I was very upset with the map in Spider-Man. and it was for one dumb reason, and one dumb reason only. I think they did an excellent job at New York, I will say that. However, as somebody who's from New York, the one thing I love is to go to the place where I work and see if the building is there, and the building was not there, and I was very upset, because not only is there the theater on Broadway that I work at, it was not there, Broadway is not there, and I felt very...
I think they
have, like,
that.
A theater district, and it has, like, a theater, but it's, like, not modeled after any theater on Broadway or anything. And so I was like, oh, that's kind of a bummer. I thought that maybe they'd have some like crappy Broadway stand-in, but they don't even have that. But otherwise, New York looked great. I can't complain any of that.
Maybe it's a licensing thing.
Yeah, it could be. I wasn't really sure. Because I was like, oh, they could even just like make the buildings look similar, but like the block is not even there.
Yeah. Interesting.
Joseph said he hasn't done the open world stuff yet, but Jesse, have you? Or Chris, have you? I'm just curious because I've read a lot of stuff on it, and I've seen mostly positive stuff with the gameplay, but I haven't heard. I've mostly heard. I don't want to say negative, but I've heard mixed reception on the open world aspect.
And we're shifting gears back to Ghost of Tsushima now. By the way, we went off
yeah.
on a tangent for a second.
It's an older style open world game, I think is the best way to put it. It is. It's. I would say that it is similar to Infamous in the way that its open world works, in which you. Okay, maybe not. Maybe Infamous is not necessarily the best way to describe it, but like you'll go past an area and a question mark might come up on your map, and then you can click on that question mark and go over there and see what it is. And so it becomes very checklisty, and I don't mean that as a negative. I just mean that as like a, okay, I can see the things that I have to do, and like you'll talk to somebody in a town, and then they'll be like, oh, I heard blah 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 blah, and then that'll be marked on your map, and then you can go
that
over.
Like
there.
Red Dead.
That part is
but
really
just
cool.
Talking to the people
because they'll be like, I heard this rumor, and then it'll be like rumor marked on map, and you can go over there and investigate what it is.
Okay, well that sounds fine. I mean, what's wrong with? I don't understand what's wrong with.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It is just, you know, when you think of like a Breath of the Wild or something where it's like. You have to discover everything on your own. The game doesn't really give you a lot.
I see.
I think that's where people were like, oh, it doesn't do that thing. It does the other thing that we were doing earlier in the generation, which I think is valid.
See,
I think that is a fair way to make an open world game. is just...
I like that more because then I'm not, like, worried about missing something or stressed about forgetting to do something right. That I saw. You know, I like a little marker guy.
And
that's the thing...
Oh, no, sorry, no, 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 go. It's fine.
I was just going to say, that's the fascinating thing about developing games where, like, you know, you first start making it and you have this idea, and by the time your game comes out, that idea might be irrelevant or outdated or, like, it may not work as well, you know? And so this game had been in development for, God, probably 6 years or 7 years or so.
Yeah, whenever First Light came out was, like, their last thing, wasn't it?
2014
yeah.
or 15.
Yeah, so they've been working on this theoretically since then.
So it had been a while, and I almost wonder, like, yeah, maybe they had the mindset of, you know, what an open world was in 2017 or 2016, something like that. And maybe now, yeah, a lot of people are expecting something a little bit different. So it's tough as a developer. I don't know how you wrestle with that.
And you
shout out to Metacritic too for not letting people review it yet.
Yeah, you have to wait. What is it? 36 hours now before you can write a review.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should just get rid of that whole thing.
Yeah.
I like what PlayStation and Xbox do. You can't review a game if you don't own it. I mean, I don't know how they would do it, but they should figure out a way to, I don't know, link your fucking gaming profile or something. Because otherwise, people can just review bomb.
You can't review it unless you have the platinum trophy.
Oh, holy
there you go.
Shit.
You haven't truly experienced it if you haven't platinumed it.
So Jesse, any sort of any closing thoughts or anything else you wanted to say about Ghost of Tsushima?
Yeah, I'm enjoying my time with it. I'm excited to see where it goes. And just to touch on the point that you brought up about, oh, yeah, like a game starts in development and the landscape of open world games is very different by the time that game comes out. I think you can kind of see in Ghost where the turning point was for them. Of the, like, oh, if you follow the animal, it'll lead you somewhere, or the wind is your guiding force. Like, I think that they did try to incorporate more nuanced and more new form, like, immersive, contextual, like, elements to the game. And I think those things work really well. Like, I found a fox, and I followed it to a shrine, and I got some stuff for doing that. But, like, the game didn't directly point me and say, you have to follow this fox. Oh, or I didn't, like, right. click a waypoint. Like, it was just in the world, and I followed it, and I found something. And I thought that was really interesting. And so I do think they're doing some interesting stuff in that regard.
Jesse, can you pet the fox?
Yeah. So, I pet a fox. I could not pet that fox.
Ah.
Because that fox led me to the thing and then ran away. So, maybe if I was fast enough, I could have pet it, but I did try.
At least you can pet a fox.
Yes. There are foxes you can pet.
Do you guys think this is a potential game of the year contender for you guys at all?
Too early to tell for me personally.
Yeah, same.
I can't comment on that. But yeah, next week we'll have more thoughts. Chris, any closing thoughts on Ghost of Tsushima before we wrap up this episode?
Not really, but I do love the environments in this game. They're absolutely goddamn gorgeous. And I find it interesting that Famitsu gave a perfect score to this game.
Yeah, what was up with that? Because they don't usually do that. They're, like, notorious.
No, they don't. That's rare.
This is the third Western game to get that.
That's a huge compliment for Sucker Punch, who are a Seattle studio, you know?
Yeah, and that's fascinating, too, you know? To nail that sort of Japan aesthetic.
Yeah, that's only happened for two other Western games, too, so that's pretty big.
What was it, GTA, and what was the other one?
I don't remember. It was probably Bioshock 2.
No, it wasn't Bioshock.
It's definitely not Red Dead.
Nah, it's not Red Dead. I think GTA something else. Well, I don't know. Well, somebody's yelling at their earphones right now. All right. Well, that about wraps it up. Like I said, we'll have more coverage on Paper Mario and Ghost of Tsushima next episode, on episode 79. So that about wraps us up for episode 78. Jesse, do you have anything you want to plug? Anything you've got in the works you want to talk about? Where can people find you on the internet? That sort of thing.
Nothing too crazy in the works. I mean, you can find my writings at twinfinite.net. On Twitter, I'm just at Jesse Vitelli. You'll know if you found the right spot. If you find Mama Bugsnacks Vitelli, that is me currently. but yeah, I mean, that's it. I just want to say a big thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. It was a ton of fun. You guys are great.
Yeah, of course. And I was gonna give you a big thank you as well to for coming on and for just being an awesome person, man. Like, it's weird because, like, a lot of the interaction, at least that I have, is with people on Twitter because you can't go out right now. And a lot of it is fine. Some people are snarky and rude. And then you're always just so just pure, wholesome. Like, wholesome and nice. And it's just, I appreciate that. So thank you.
Oh, I appreciate you appreciating that.
Let's just appreciate everybody.
I just appreciate everybody here. Thank you.
An appreciation, like, circle jerk, right?
Hell
now.
Yeah.
Whoa! All right.
I'm part of that appreciation group as well.
Jesus. Chris, where can people find you when you're not on the show?
By the way, the third perfect game was Skyrim.
Oh, there it is.
And you can find me at PenwellWrites on Twitter. You can read my work on The Gamer. I'm doing news every day, and I'm actually putting out some features soon, so look out for that. And also check out my My Hero Academia podcast, Go Beyond, and we talk about each and every episode in extensive detail, and it's super fun.
Chris, I appreciate your enthusiasm for My Hero Academia. Academia.
Yeah, you're plus ultra, dude.
Hell yeah.
I am gonna watch that because I have it on PS4.
It's very good.
Oh my god,
please do.
Yeah, I want to do. What's the other one people like? The Titans?
Attack on Titan.
Yeah. Do they have that in English? I know that's really annoying. Probably. Do they have an English version?
Yes, they do. Okay. I actually mainly watch the dub. Both Vaughn and I watch the dub. So, yeah.
Okay.
We totally recommend it.
That's good to know. Josh, where can people find you when you're not on the show?
One of the games that got a near perfect score was Red Dead 2. I'm just saying, Chris.
That's where you can find
never change. Never change, Josh.
Thank you. I'm not making it up, though.
You can find
right
Josh
there.
Reading Red Dead Redemption 2 reviews.
Red Dead 2 is so good. You can find me wanting to replay Red Dead 2, but not having the time. Sometimes I stream games on Twitch, JerkJersh77. Please check out Kinda Funny's XCast. I think that could be a really cool and exciting thing, and I would love to see that exist alongside P.S. I Love You, because both platforms have cool stuff happen, and it's nice to have a spot for them to be celebrated.
And Snowbike Mike's fucking awesome.
He really is, though.
We'd love to have him on the show.
He's speaking of wholesome people, he's just a really fun person, and he's just, I don't know, he's going to be a fun host.
And you can find me on Twitter at Joseph Yaden, and you can find my work at Digital Trends, Game Skinny, and The Escapist. So, and in terms of what I have in the works, I have a feature-ish kind of guide. It's a mixture between a feature and a guide. That's going to be interesting. Of the photo mode in Ghost of Tsushima. So you guys can look forward to that probably by the time this episode goes live. And then I actually also have a feature in the works with Switch Player Magazine about the Doom Eternal soundtrack. And how it basically how it's a great place to get into the metal genre of music, because I know it's kind of an inaccessible genre at times, but Doom Eternal might be a good place to start. So you guys can look forward to that whenever copies go out with that. They're from the UK.
Shout out to Mick Gordon too. Soundtrack he's done has been fucking awesome.
We will catch you guys next week on episode 79. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.